Okay, so moving to, this is VOD number 8. We've been discussing, working on davening, focusing on Kavana. So the next, I'm not sure how many weeks we'll end up being. I thought it would be 3, but I might stretch it a little bit just because of the material. Just to go through some practical strategies to try to achieve Kavana. And we know that in anything in life, between knowing something and feeling it, between the intellect and the emotion, lies an ocean. Anyone who ever gave any thought to tefillah knows, obviously with davening to Hashem, knows that who Hashem is, being the king, where we have to stand in utter awe in front of. Yet, with all this knowledge, we're very capable of saying these words of tefillah, especially Shemone Esrei, without any feeling, without thinking of anything, at least towards tefillah, to the point that we've become experts at mouthing the tefillah while thinking about anything else, from the weather and out here to the Lakers and Clippers. So why would we want to daven correctly, when we want to daven effectively, do we have such a difficult time with it? Why is it so frustrating to us that, we want to do it, and yet it's so difficult? So some comfort we could take on the fact, as we mentioned, maybe back on the first or second week, that this is an area that the Yetzer Hara will battle us the most. More than anything else that we do in the Avodah towards Hashem, the Yetzer Hara battles us in Tefillah, because as we said, that's the connection, that's what links us to Hashem, and he's going to fight that. Yet at the same time, we know that anything Hashem has given us is not impossible to do. And therefore, if we're supposed to have Kavana, it's obviously within reach to be able to do it. According to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he tells us there's no magic formula, obviously, for this, but that every person has to find things that he's attracted to in order, based on his abilities and his desires, to work on this area. And as in any attempt to self-improve, the key is to first put in some effort, and then after that, as we mentioned, Hashem will then kick in the rest. And on any small effort, we need that sincere desire to really want to change. And we have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we go into something and we think we want to do it, we believe it, but if we dig down, we realize that, sometimes we fool ourselves. So we have to have that sincere desire to change. And once we have that single factor, then we can work towards improving ourselves as opposed to spending our entire lives just spinning our wheels. In 1991, just one day before the Gulf War started, Diane Dunner met with Rav Shach and said that the people in America, England, Europe, they want to know what they can do, because everyone knew that what was about to happen. They want to do tshuva, they want to do something. And Rav Shach told them, he said, tell them to take a small but meaningful pledge that they can keep for the next 3 months, because it was right before January, 3 months was Pesach, and in that way, that will be something. And he told Diane Dunner that he himself is going to take for that same time that he's going to bench from a sitter or a bencher whenever he eats at home. So the question is why did he advise such a minor commitment? We're about to go into, at that time, it was a big war. You think you take on a seder, take on something big. So if Dessler explains, he says, V'kachu b'chol madregos, this is how it is in any type of growth. You go in a little by a little, part by part, until you enter your entire neshama, till you reach the 49th level of Sharibina. And he says that's the way to climb successfully, is by taking the small steps and growing slightly. Those who sometimes think that if we jump in and we dive right in, many times those people end up falling because it's hard to keep at that pace. But if we grow a little bit and then a little more and a little more, we'll be able to do that. So we're going to go through, as I said, a bunch of strategies to try to work on Kavana, and hopefully some of them will resonate with each one of us and help our Kavana with our davening. And there's going to be some overlap, as the focus will be on a certain point, but they sort of relate a little bit. The first strategy is quieting our mind. And as we know, our minds are never still. It's either focusing on the sounds, the words around us, on the words that we're speaking, thoughts that are running through our head, We know even while we're sleeping, our mind is busy replaying images, scenes, things that took place during the day. So the first imperative step is to get that chatter, both internally and externally, to stop. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, it says, Vayavar Hashem alpana vayikra, in the laning in Kisisa that we lane every time in Tzibur, Amr Reb Yochanan, Ilmalei Mikra, cause if not for the fact the Pasuk wrote this, Yef Shel Omer would be impossible to say. Malamish and his Atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur, Hashem wrapped himself up like in a talis, like a Shliach Tzibur, Veheralo LeMoshe Seder Tefila, and he showed Moshe the Seder had a Davin. Amlo, he told him, Kol Zman Sheyisrael Chotim, Yasu Lefanek Yaseder Hazeh, whenever Klai Yisrael sins, they should do like this Seder, Vani Mochelem, and then I will be Mochelem. And Rav Dessler explains, he says, Shenesate Vekadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur, what does that mean that he wrapped himself like a Shliach Tzibur? So he says, Atifa is remez lesila kol bubul mibachutz, that Hashem was sort of removing all the distractions from around him. And he says, L'remez lanu hachana rishon l'tfilah, this is the remez, the first preparation a person has to make for davening, is to remove everything that's going on around us. And we know that if a person, the second he walks into shul, would immediately start davening, it would be, his mind is often very preoccupied with what happened on his way to shul. He's not settled yet, and therefore he'll have a hard time focusing. And many times, you know, we know people, they get in the car in the morning, it's a good, you know, you have your 5 minutes, you know, where you could catch up on what's doing in the news, you might catch the headlines. And what ends up happening is then we play the news. And the entire davening, we're reviewing whether it was the sports, whether it was the headlines, the news, political. And Dayan Dunner says, for that reason, he used to tell his tzibur, they should not listen to the radio before they go to shul, because it's hard to block it out of our minds once it's there. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tzadi, at the end of Siv Chav, tells us, V'yesh mefarshim shlo yimar lespal miyad kishin nichnas, a person, as we said, should not hurry and daven right when he enters shul. Ela yisha shir shnei psachim, he should wait the amount of time it takes to walk in two doors, which is about eight amos worth. Yisha Shir Kadeshis Yatziv Daitan Shabur explains that it's to settle his mind, Vizbal Kavana, in order that he could again daven with Kavana. Kikishis Baal Takeoff, if you daven immediately, Bichnisaso, Pisom, when you come in suddenly, Ain Daitan Mishavasalov, your das is not settled, and you'll already have a losing battle in trying to get yourself to daven properly. And the Rambam says something very similar. He says, Ketzad hi hakavana, how does one have kavana? Sheifana libo mikol machshavos, you should empty your heart from all your thoughts. And then he goes on to say you should, you know, realize, you know, who you're standing in front of. And the rest of the Rambam really will apply to, I think, more of the next step. But basically, again, you have to have that time where you clear your mind out. And it's an investment of sometimes a few minutes. And by setting up that investment, the entire venture that we're setting forth, that we're going out to do, will be more successful. And just like a diver who takes a few deep breaths before they go underwater, one who stops to clear his mind will have a better chance to make that tefillah successful. Second strategy is taking time to prepare. And now, preparation, as we know, shows the value of something for that event. And the mashal they give is when, you know, the first time the chassan, you know, or a boy comes to a girl's house and they spend the entire day cleaning and it's spotless, and one of the kids say, Ma, if they get engaged and they go and it becomes real, he's going to know the house is not like this. But the bottom line is, if it's important, we got to prepare. So,
welcome to my world.
So Shimshon Pinkus tells us, he says, Yisod ha-kavonos chus ha-lei v'tfilo tluim b'ha-chonos shalfneu. Again, the yisod is in the preparation, and if we prepare, it shows the value. And he quotes the Rambam, and I'm going to finish off that whole Rambam now. He says, you're supposed to, again, Ketzad HaKavana is that you empty your hearts, you know that you're standing before Hashem. Lefichach tzarech leishev ma'at kodem tefillah, you have to stop and sit a little before tefillah. And the Kesef Mishnah just points out that he says, Afal gav di'ev shalusho shog achas k'chassidim rishonim, even though the chassidim rishonim, they sat for an hour prior, we don't have that hour to do it, Mikol Malkum Tzarech Leishim Ma'at, at least a little bit, you know, we have to sit in order Kedei Chavinus Libo V'Yachach Hachisbal B'Nachas V'Tachnunim, and then you'll be able to daven and daven properly. So, and he also quotes that same Mishnah Berurah that we brought, that a person, again, should not jump right into davening, but that he should wait a little bit before davening. V'hinei seder zeh deyishar ma'at kodem atfila, einem divrei musar v'hesoros, it's not musar, it's not hesoros, o mili chasidusa, it's not mili chasidus, el halacha. He says it's halacha. Sharei hevia harambam b'loshen keitzadi ha'kavona, because the Rambam says, how do you have kavona? The kavona atzmihim in advar hama'ak v'natfila, and kavona is one of the things that holds back tfila if we don't have it. He says, v'nimtza, and therefore we find, hama'acher lebeis ha'kneses, b'shachris, someone who comes late to shachris, v'chotev has a talis ha'tfilin, and quickly he throws on his talis and tfilin, umespal baritzu b'chipozon, and he's off to the races, davening hurriedly, Obe mincha, obe marv, where he runs in mincha marv, hamahar litvos at tzibur shmones, and he's quickly catching up, you know, grabbing the tzibur at shmones, right? Hareza neged halacha. He says, it's keneged the halacha. Ukvar me rosh muftach lo shali, it's leach lechavin. He says, and I can basically guarantee, you're not going to be successful with this kavana. Utfiloso tehe shalka hogan, and your tfilo is going to be done, you know, improperly. And he goes on, and I'm not going to go into the rest of it, but he goes on to the same thing, that a person also shouldn't just get up from being involved in something and then just standing up to daven. But again, the same idea, that a person should spend the few minutes and spend the time to, you know, to prepare himself. Back in 2001, when President Bush was still president, there were a bunch of rabbanim from New York that were granted a session with him. And one of the rabbanim explained later the amount of preparation that went in to, you know, to make those, you know, what they were going to say to him and how they would say it for those few minutes. He says it was, you know, they spent a lot longer preparing than they did the actual meeting. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Sadi Gimel, Yisha Sha'achas Kodim Shiyakim Lispalal Kadei Shechavin Liv L'Mokom. Again, that same halacha, you should wait an hour before you daven in order to prepare your heart. And he brings the halacha that we'll get into perhaps at another time, an hour also after davening, in order that it doesn't appear that you're running away from Hashem. And the Mishnah Berurah again just clarifies, as we had mentioned with the Kesef Mishnah before, that today, obviously, we can't do an hour, so therefore, at least, b'sha mu'etes, she'yisha kolim she'yaskol, at least a little bit, and he says it's the shir of k'day hiluch shmona tvachim. The amount that it takes to go eight tvachim, which is why I got confused before with the eight. So it's something that you know will give you the ability to prepare properly. And so Sherish Avoda says that you should articulate the words of the davening. No, sorry, skip the page. We know that it's true, preparation takes time. And it can take some of us longer, some of us shorter. But if we invest properly, as in anything, if we put in that investment, then we'll obviously have a better daven. And in that way, be connected closer to Hashem. The third strategy is to do something. And they give a mashal. If a man enters into a shul where there's a minyan forming, and the moment the 10th person walks in, there's a blinding light that shines forth from the Aron. There's a scent, an unearthly scent that circulates through the room by a strong wind. And the men take their talesim, the siddurim, and they begin to daven. And every time they say Hashem's name, lightning bolts shoot around. There's no doubt that these people are going to have no problem with kavana. But for the rest of us, our senses do very little when it comes to helping us for davening. And the Mesilas Yesharim tells us that when a person davens, he says, you should really know we're standing before Hashem, we're talking to Him. He says, however, kizehu ayoser kasha sheitzar b'lev adam tziramiti, it's hard to have a real picture. Yan ein achush ozel zeklal, because the senses help us with nothing. And therefore, it's very difficult to involve us in that way to help us. So in order to counter that aspect, so you have to actively engage yourself and engage your senses into davening. And the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Kuf Aleph tells us, lo yispal b'libo levad, a person should not just daven in his heart, el machate chadvarim b'sfasov, you should say out the words, umashmir lo ozna b'lachash, So, and that way you'll hear it. So therefore, you're going ahead and you're speaking the words. So you're using one of the senses to the senses. You're hearing it. And in that way, you're involving some of the senses. And the Soda Sherish Avoda tells us that you should articulate your words the way people do when they count money. No one counts money in their mind. You know, everyone you hear it count 20, 40, 60, everything's out loud. We should do the same. The Sefer Chassidim tells us you should daven with a melody. And the question is okay, very nice, so good. You have a melody, you say it out loud. What does this do? How does this help us? And then Mesillas Yesharim tells us in Perek Zayin, he says, Ki atnua achitzona meoreres apnimis. The outside action awakens the inside. And therefore, if you're careful how you say it, you're singing the davening, that will awaken our insides to realize what we're doing. And it's brought that Rav Yecheskel Levenstein used to tell his Talmidim the same thing, that they should be careful to enunciate the words, listen to the words, in order that they would have the proper kavanah while davening. So therefore, if we actively involve our mouth, our ears, we're at least getting some senses in. Another way to be active during the davening is those who shuckle. And again, there's a back and forth. There are those who say yes, there are those who say not. But those who shuckle, you know, have another aspect where they're involving themselves physically in the davening. They're doing something besides just the actual words. And Rav Yaakov Emden wrote in the introduction to his Siddur that when a person is shuckling and moving, it again will awaken the heart and arouse us to daven with kavana. And the last one for today is someone feeling the need. We know that davening is very different when a person has a need and when a person, quote-unquote, has no need. A person with no needs is crippled in his effort to connect to Hashem. And the question that was asked is, who got the bigger curse back when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas? Was it Adam having to go to work? Was it Chava, pain by childbirth? Or the snake, the Nachash, that he should eat dust his entire life? Which one was worse? Simply, most of us would say, something that the man or the lady got. But the Rebbe Reb Yunim explains that the snake actually had the worst curse of everyone. And he says the reason is because the snake's curse was, Hashem said, you should have everything you always need. Basically translating that you should never turn back to me for anything. And that is the biggest curse, to say, you know what, I want nothing to do with you. But Adam and Chava, who now have a need, you have to daven for parnasa, childbirth, there are needs, there are things saying, you know what, I need to connect back to Hashem. So, yes, they were a curse, but they're not, you know, the curse like the Nachash got. And the Shlach HaKadosh tells us that when a person strongly feels a need, our tefillah becomes more relevant. But a person, again, who does not have that need, there's no internal drive, there's nothing within us pushing us. You know, we may say the words, we may go through the motions, but there's nothing pushing us to really reach out to Hashem. And the biggest example in our lives of this is look at our tefillah on Yom Kippur, look at our tefillah the day after Yom Kippur. What changed in 24 hours? Marv, yes. I was thinking about bringing that. I'll at least give you the next day. But the difference is, Yom Kippur, we have that picture that our lives are on the line. We got to, you know, this is it. You know, we got to put everything in. You know what? By Marv, the next day, we've made it. Whatever it is, and that need is not the same, and the tefillah is no longer the same. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that the Mishnah says, "Ha'osu tefillah su keva," one who makes his tefillah not considered a plea, makes it habitual, it's not a tefillah. And Rabbi and Rav Yosef, there are different, you know, there are a few different shittos, but Rabbi and Rav Yosef say, the Gemara tells us, "Damri tarvayu, kol she'eino yachol l'chadish badavar," that means someone who can't think of something new to say in the tefillah. And the Tosas HaRosh asks on that Gemara, he says, how is it possible that you can't have something new to think of in a tefillah? We're davening for our parnasa, we're davening for Torah, we're davening for each and every breath we take, every heartbeat, our health, our kids, marriages. There's so much to daven with. There's nothing new in a tefillah that we can think of that we need to daven. And the Tosas HaRosh leaves the Gemara actually shver. So therefore, if we take that aspect and we realize that every tefillah has a need, there are things we need, and we focus on those needs, we'll then be able to awaken our kavana and, you know, hopefully daven properly with that. Now, to close, as always, with our story and then the homework. So, there was a boy named Yaakov Nyman who lived back in Poland, and at the age of 13 had lost both of his parents. And he ended up in the Lomza Yeshiva, where the Rebbeim took him in, knowing what he was going through. But the hardest day of the week for this Yaakov Nyman was the day that mail came. Watching everyone come with the letters and the packages, and hearing people talk about, you know, what's doing back at home, was very hard for him. But, you know, there's only so much, you know, there's nothing obviously he can do to change that. One time, he finally had enough, and he turned to Hashem and said, Hashem, I'm not looking for packages, I don't need the gifts, I don't need the letters, but I have no father other than you. You know what? On mail day, send me a package every mail day. I want Siyata Dishmaya to help my learning. And that's the package, that's the letter I want from you every day, every mail day. And sure enough, he went to the Beis Medrash and felt a little different, ready to move into the next Gemara. And he says that the truth is that every single time mail was delivered to the yeshiva, he always felt, you know, another, you know, push, another, you know, resolve to continue to grow. And that Yaakov Nyman later became the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva in Petach Tikva. And he, you know, looks back to the fact that he was successful from turning, you know, and you know, asking Hashem for the need that he had. So the last time we met, which goes back 5 weeks due to the birth of my Yosef Shalom and the Bris and then Pesach. So the last time I met was 5 weeks ago. So the homework at that time was that we were going to work on coming to one tefillah a day on time. So this time we were going to add coming to a second tefillah on time. And now that we've changed the clocks, mincha certainly is not an issue with work. Even if you're there for mincha, right. Does that count as two tefillahs?
Sure.
I guess, yeah. I guess technically it is. I guess technically. But again, you know, working. If you're here for mincha, you at least get one. That's true. If you daven ma'ariv right away. But you know, again, as if we work on this, so besides the knowledge that we're getting, but we're physically doing something to alter and change our tefillah, our actions towards tefillah, as we said, one of the things was doing something. So if we continue to do something besides just what we hear on Sunday mornings, and hopefully hear something that's doing something also, then at least then our tefillos will physically change, which will, again, as we said from Sil Shasharim, if the outside changes, the inside will change, and our tefillos will have the kavana and be accepted by Hashem. Right.